the first thing I learned when I went into this space was charities should be allowed to operate like a business. I mean, when I brought up charities with my friends who are my age, I mean, I'm 23, and they're like, I hate charities that spend all their money on overheads. Try and run any business without overheads. Try and do anything without administration costs. So charities don't have this magic wand where they can't spend any money on anything. The focus should be on, is the money they're spending on administration leading them to do things that are really good? And if that's the case, then why shouldn't they spend money on admin? How are they supposed to grow and actually make the impact that they want to make? So I think whether they are not-for-profits or not, at this stage, it doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that people will say they spend money on overheads. If the end result is great, then it's fine. Like, I wouldn't have no problem with a charity that spent 50% on their overheads if I knew they were doing research and the right marketing and building the right partnerships to then move on and actually execute what they want to do. And if they execute it well, then why does it matter how much they spend on overheads if they delivered what they said they would?
And I think you just speaking to your friends or saying what your friends have said is reflective of what a lot of people think, that that's the space of charity. And is my money just going back in to perhaps pay these people or to essentially boost up the marketing of these charities?
In regards to chuggers, I mean, it comes down to, could that money be spent but like more effectively? Like, is that really, was that money spent paying an hourly rate plus a commission? The argument, I think, needs to be not centered about like what the money's being spent on rather than what result comes out of that money being spent. I think that's where the focus needs to lie. And that requires a whole lot more, you know, transparency of reporting. It requires the charities themselves or the organizations to be very critical of themselves. And I think that's what's drawn me into looking at this space is that, you know, I can't remember the exact names, but in William McCaskill's book, Doing Good Better, he puts three charities to you. And the first one, it's a charity that gives books to children in schools in Africa. On a charity index, I can't remember the name again, but they got rated really high for the sake of this discussion. They got rated like 99 because they spent nothing on overheads and they said, we're going to get books to schools, and they did it. Whereas there was another charity, which is called Development Media International, and they're an educational charity, and they try and educate children about the importance of washing your hands, the importance of hygiene, and making sure you do those things. And they spent about 40% on overheads. And when I first read that, I went, well, I'd go to the books. And then the book went on then to describe that by teaching children how to wash their hands, they were no longer dying from simple things like diarrhea, which we would never die from in Australia. And if they were dying, then they didn't have a chance to read those books. And that's where my perception really started to change around charities, is that if they spent the exact same money and, you know, they spent only 60% on the end product, that research they did and that work they did to create that product actually saved lives. For me, welfare is more important than how we got there.
So this is what you're looking at in your research for the hatchery?
For the hatchery, we want to see if young people care about this. So what we did is we went, me, myself and Rosalind and James, we worked together twice a week and we went, hey, charity spaces are great, but how do we get more young people donating regularly? And the first thing that came up was, I don't have enough money, you know, or if I did give, what difference does it make? I had never donated to charity before I started this project. First time I donated to charity is when we ran an experiment of donating to charity. So, right, like I am not by any means, I'm trying to solve this problem for myself as well because I felt that I couldn't make a difference. I didn't know that I could with the little I had. When I heard this, I was like, great, there's no real excuse for me personally not to do anything if I know that I could donate $5 a week and it would make a really great impact. And do other people think that? Would other people agree? Would a conversation with a friend make them want to give to those charities as well? And if enough people said that, then why should we should do something about it?
So talk about the experiment. What did you actually do?
It was quite interesting because James wasn't completely sold on this idea of effective charities either. And, you know, it required us talking about it and letting it sit. And we had to also address the fact that if you had a friend who was affected by cancer, I mean, my grandfather just passed away from cancer in December. He's like, I had to think, like, do I want to donate to cancer research? And is it something that's really close to me? I personally don't work that way. But again, this is why the hatchery is so great, is because they teach you about the importance of empathy. And if you have a solution or even a problem you want to work on, you need to understand if that is the same problem for everyone out there. So we said we're between the ages of 18 and 24, so they're the people we're going to target. They're the people we're going to do our research on, because I can't solve the problem of a 50-year-old, like really solve it for him, because I haven't experienced what he or she has experienced. The first experiment we did was we got $20 worth of 5-cent pieces, and we got 9 jars, and each jar represented a charity. And we wanted to know that if money wasn't a barrier, what charities people would donate their money to. So we set up a sign saying free donations. We had the instruction. So have you ever been to Grilled?
Yes.
Okay, so you know how they give you it. Okay, so we kind of emulated that experience. So instead of bottle caps, we actually gave people money.
Because at Grilled, they will normally have 3 different jars, and they're 3 different organizations that you will then pledge your support to by throwing the little lid bottle into the jar.
And I'm right, the one that has the most is where they donate.
Yes.
So we did that. We had $20, and the one that had the most 5-cent pieces, we were going to donate the entire $20 to the charity. And 3 of those charities were not bad, but just what these mega charities like World Vision, like everyone knows them, Save the Children. Very well marketed charities. They understood what people needed to engage. And we had 6 of these effective charities. For example, one of them is called SCI, which stands for Schistosomiasis Control Initiative. Like, it's even hard to say. It took me about a week of practicing it to nail it like that. And we had 3 different causes. So we had hunger, and we had women, and we had poverty. And for each cause, we had an A4 piece of paper with the headings of each charity and then a little short bio. And then a jar corresponding. At first, when we didn't engage with anyone, we kind of were just 2 dudes sitting there with a bit of music playing, some jars on a table and a sign saying donate to charity for free. And it was just super weird, right? Like, I've never felt so strange. Like, I've never done anything with societies at uni. Like, I've talked to people a lot, but sitting there and just kind of like hanging out with a little UE boom playing anything from Chic to Kanye West, it was definitely a strange moment. And it was only until we actually kind of gave people a call to action. So we'd like give them the coin and be like, hey, can you help me donate my money? And the floor, that even confused people. They're like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm like, no, here's my money. Like, can you help me pick a charity? The one with the most, you know, coins is what we're going to donate to. And at first people were a little bit standoffish because of this whole culture of like, you know, I'm busy, I'm at uni and I don't have time. Or like, I'm like, no, just go pick, like, even if you don't want to look, like, if you just give me like 3 seconds, like, just chuck it in. And we just wanted to see how people engage with the content. And the Save the Children won, and we donated $29 because actually people went out of their way. 3 people went out of their way to actually give us money as well. It was really evident that people that didn't engage with the content would just typically go for Save the Children or World Vision, you know, because they have that trust built over years of advertising and, you know, they're prominent. And then when people would really engage with the content, you know, with those effective charities, they make it really clear how much it costs to do what they say they're going to do. So people would be like, oh, that's cool. And some people would then go for like living goods, or, you know, they would go for SCI, which is deworming pills. And I really want to see a lot more accountability than what's on offer at the moment. I went on to GiveWell site and I saw an income sheet and a balance sheet, and, you know, and I was like, okay, I kind of get these numbers, and that's great, that's transparent, and companies showing us, you know, what percentage of their money they spend on, you know, marketing, and what percentage they spend on in-house costs. And I think that's great, but it's very high level. I don't know whether it is possible yet, and I'm really interested in exploring how me as an individual, if I donated money to you, if I donated to 2SER, I would see that my money actually went to 2SER, and even hopefully saw when that money got used, and kind of taking a more supply chain viewpoint of finances in business and charitable giving. I think it's looking like it might be a lot more possible with cryptocurrencies rather than fiat currencies, but the fact that it's even that this idea of decentralized ledgers is becoming a thing for me is very exciting, and I'm looking forward to exploring it a lot more.